Tracy, would you open in prayer, please?
Yeah, absolutely. That last song just really, it is well with my soul. Oh my. Thank you, Father, for this day. Lord, we just come to you with open heart and ready to receive, Lord, all that you would like to impart to us this day. I ask, Father, that you would just guide and direct each of us as we join in on this call, that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable, Lord, that we would just honor and glorify you today in all that we say and do. We thank you for what you are bringing forth. We thank you for your promises. We thank you that you are continuing to do an amazing work in each one of us. We are filled with love for you, Lord. Let it be that we all return, all of us, back to our first love, that our first love would be igniting this world on fire, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings that you bestow on us, your faithfulness to us each and every day. We thank you for your love. And we just lift all this up in your precious and holy name, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Tracy. Well, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. It is a beautiful Sabbath day here. No wind, very, very nice, easy breeze. It's not windy, sunny. It is going to be a little warm, but supposed to get down in the 80s, I think, the next couple of days or so. But I am excited to see what God has planned for this day. Praise the Lord. I'm not just talking about the fellowship gathering this morning, but definitely, definitely this fellowship, our time together. But I want to just wake up every day, God willing, by his grace, you know, be intentional about taking that stance every day, being excited about whatever God has planned. All right. But we've been covering question, will she take dominion? And I'm telling you, this week, when I was on the phone with Lauren, and what his topic was, the book of Amos, then later Wilkerson covering Amos, certain aspects of what is happening. Book of Amos is not only what was happening then, but now, because it goes on through and begins to speak about the millennial kingdom, what he does with Israel. The same things that were going on then are going on now about the truth, when the truth is being spoken, righteousness, because they were into idolatry. The northern kingdom was getting ready to be taken out, invaded and dispersed among the nations, which it was shortly after. But they ended up killing Amos, as we know, one of the priests, which they were taking and making priests of the lowest of the people. Jeroboam started all of that. But because they felt good about things happening, you know, they had food and such, the Lord began to bring famine. He brought some drought to them. Nothing was phasing them. None of the plagues, none of the bad turn. No. And they said, go on down to Judah and give these, you know, fake false prophecies. We see that now, that the prophets, the people of God, the remnant of God that speak of holiness, of righteousness, going against the wickedness in the land, right? Look at what we see going on. They are looked upon as traitors, labeled as traitors. Or as Wilkerson said something about talking about the law, the Ten Commandments, people not understanding that there is the law of Moses and then the covenant, two separate things. We'll talk about that sometime. I probably need to explain that. they'll accuse you of being legalistic, right? You start talking about holiness and following those Ten Commandments, you're a legalist. But yeah, all these things. But will she take dominion? We talked about the showdown, the article titled The Showdown last week, I think it was. And there was a part two. There was a part two, and it's called on the website, Power from On High. I'm going to quote just some pieces because it is a mirror image of what we see going on today. I have pieces of that. I'm not going to read the article. I'm going to take some excerpts. But here's what the Lord said, and it was right after he had given the showdown back in 2018, and I think that was in May. I don't have it in front of me, but this was given about a month later. And I was sitting when he began to speak, and I was thinking about, will she take dominion? Because that was the question he had me ask out loud. He asked me, and I began to just ask it out into the the universe, if you will, proclaiming that question all through the house. Will she take dominion? And then suddenly the Lord said this, where are my Elijahs? Who will confront these prophets of Baal? I call forth my John the Baptists to rebuke the Pharisees and the Sadducees of the land. Open your mouth, my people, for you are my voice crying out in the wilderness. Prepare you the way of the Lord. That's what he told me that day. That's what he began to speak that day. Guys, this is the group. The time period, right? Not talking about just our group. I'm talking about the pods, this, the remnant of God. This is the group preparing for Christ's second coming, preparing the way of the Lord, his second coming. Remember, he has been saying over and over, as it was, so shall it be again. And I pray to be part of this group. I'm going to take us through for just a minute at the fallen state of Israel before she was removed from the land. Okay, let's just do a short review to compare with our day. In summary, the nation of Israel began combining mixture. They began combining worship of the one true God with the pagan little g gods of the nations around them. And then when Ahab became king, you know, his wife Jezebel murdered most of the prophets of God, and those remaining went silent and went into hiding. They were hidden. Jezebel instituted Baal and Asherah worship. Am I saying that right? Asherah. And it's pronounced different ways and spelled different ways depending on cultures. But Baal and Asherah worship over the land of Israel. Okay. And the worship of Baal, even today, guys, requires various sexual rituals and human sacrifice, especially that of children. We're now hearing about this practice basically going on behind the scenes in every facet of our society. You know, we see these sexual rituals being played out during halftime football games and stuff, or at concerts, especially those that are youth are being allowed to go to, and various events which are televised all over the world, acting out these sexual rituals. And of course, behind the scenes, off the camera, you can't even imagine what goes on. The buying and selling of children for the purposes of sexual abuse, torture, sacrifice, and even consumption. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. Now we've got movies that came out about that, right? Our kings, queens, presidents, politicians, actors, entertainers, along with the rich and famous, regularly pay homage to Baal in our society. They did it then, they're doing it now. And the church, the so-called church, is not exempt in this matter. Just as he tried to do with Jesus, Satan makes an offer many do not, will not refuse in the church. If you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you all this, whatever your desires, right? And we know, man, now we got people coming out and saying they made deals with the devil. But the devil made an offer to the church through Constantine in 8300s. You know, he offered to stop the persecution of the church, to give them their own temples, wealth, and power. If only the church would help him, first of all, become emperor and support him. And if they would just tone down the doctrine, just don't be so dogmatic on doctrine. He even promised to become a Christian himself. And the majority, we know history, the majority of the church took him up on the offer. The horrors of persecution had worn them down. That's going to come again. But that's when all the watering down and the compromise began in a huge way. Everything became paganized. The substitution of God's holy days with the pagan days, the seventh day Sabbath to the first day of the week, and on, you know, the first, second, fourth commandments were thrown out the window immediately. And only a small remnant remained faithful to God. And they were, a lot of them, they went underground at that time for a while because they were persecuted with death. And those who spoke out became traitors to Rome, traitors to the state, enemies of the state. That's how it always has been, and that's how it's panning out today. And we haven't seen it here yet. It's coming. It's just now appearing, isn't it? But as in the days of Elijah, the spirit of Jezebel has now taken over most of the church and the nations of the world. And Baal worship abounds. The church as a whole not only remains silent, but is actively participating in Baal worship. Look at what's happening that we're seeing. Sexual sin of every sort, transgenderism, all this craziness, pastors, homosexual pastors, you name it, standing up at the pulpits now. All in their rainbow colors and stuff. They're now embraced and practiced, you know, all the sexual sin, with many openly embracing the sacrifice of our children through abortion. All this bloodletting is empowering the kingdom of darkness, setting the stage for the Antichrist. Now with all the wars and stuff, more bloodletting is needed for him. There's something that Lauren talks about that the enemy wants very much to happen right away to make the way for the Antichrist. But everything they've been working towards, right? The word says there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed and nothing concealed that will not be known and come to light. And as that veil is pulled back and the heinous acts of the church exposed, it's going to be obvious why the Lord's calling forth not only his Elijahs, but his John the Baptist. John the Baptist rebuked the leaders of the church, calling them a brood of vipers, the leaders of the church of his day, saying the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree which doesn't bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And we know that Matthew 3, verse 10 to 12, he said Jesus will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he's going to burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. There was another word that was given that later that month, the second showdown, but it was later in the month, and it's called the lion goes forth. And this is what the Lord said. The lion of the tribe of Judah goes forth. He has a body now. Judgment will begin at my house. The snakes and scorpions will be exposed. Much blood will flow in the cleansing of my temple. Now that was the end of that word. If you want to read more about it, you can go to the website. It's, the lion goes forth, but he's calling forth his Elijahs and John the Baptist to confront the prophets of Baal, to rebuke those snakes and scorpions. Just as Elijah called for a showdown, we got one coming up. He says, choose you this day whom you will serve, right? But God backed up the words of Elijah with mighty wonders that day, putting the prophets of Baal to an open shame. And just as he backed Elijah, God's going to back those who dare preach the word with signs and wonders. And all through the New Testament and Acts and stuff, it says, well, just right here, Mark 16:20, but it says that God confirms the word, his word, with signs and wonders. Once it begins to be proclaimed, that's the key. When the word begins to be proclaimed openly, he's preparing a people right now for that in a way we've not seen before. In Acts 2:16, it says, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And then in Joel 2:23, it speaks of God pouring out the former and the latter rain upon his people in these last days. Because the magnitude of evil in these last days will be at a level never experienced. The power from on high will be poured upon the saints of the Most High God in a measure never witnessed. Remember, Jesus said that you'll do what the works I've been doing, but even greater works than these. This is the end of the end. Just as the original disciples, they waited to be endued with that power from on high, they continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. That is what we're being called upon to do as we are being perfected, as we are being cleansed, as the Lord is making a difference. He is, as we submit to him and lay ourselves bare before him, and he cleans out, he's cleaning out all the dross, all the things that don't belong in his temple made without human hands. I'm just going to say, as it was, so will it be again. You know, as mentioned a minute ago, as Satan tried with Jesus, he makes an offer that many do not refuse in his church. He says, all these things I will give you, he told Jesus, if you will bow down and worship me, I'll give it to you. That was Matthew 4:8-9. But interesting, in Luke 4:5-7, it gives a full, narrative made by the devil to Jesus. Let me read that real quick. That's Luke 4:5-7. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. So he gave him a vision of it all. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours, he says. Remember, let's just review something here. Remember, the mandate was given to Adam and Eve to take dominion over all the earth and to subdue it. You know, they failed in their mission. Instead, they handed it, you know, that authority over to the devil. That's what he's talking about there. It was all given to him. He still held that authority, dominion, when Jesus appeared at his first coming. And Jesus didn't dispute that fact with the devil. The first Adam failed in obeying the mandate given to him to take dominion. The second Adam, Jesus, did not fail. And after his resurrection, his dying and spilling of his blood for us, he said in Matthew 28:18, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. And he's now able to correct or dispute the devil's claim of having all authority, isn't he? He's now able to give it to whomever he wishes. That's what the devil said. Jesus can now complete his sentence in Matthew 28 by saying, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Those that will bow down and serve him, right? Think of this. When the Lord spoke that to me earlier in the week, I think it was, I just had chills all over my body. Just as the devil said it, and I give, you know, it's all been given to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. We can't say that anymore because all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto Jesus. And he will give it to whomsoever he wishes. And it's the same criteria. Those that will bow down and worship Jesus. Sure, there's still the thing going on with the devil and those that bow down to worship him. But there's a division going on now. Because the second Adam, Jesus Christ, he did not fail the mandate given to him to come take dominion. And the good news is the second Eve, the bride of Christ, is not going to fail on her mandate as well. Because we know the scriptures, and please feel free to quote, read all the scriptures that talk about what we've been given. She receives the mandate to subdue and take dominion, and she does not fail. When she rises, think about it, it's after Jesus rose from the dead. We bow down and we enter into that inner sanctum as a dead woman. How? By the blood of the Lamb. The word of our testimony, who he is, who he says she is. When she rises, she realizes her identity, who she is, and begins to walk in it. That will be, remember Jesus was told, set you on my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The enemies are under the feet of the saints. We're his body. They will be. Dominion will be given to the saints of the Most High God. At that certain point during the tribulation. We'll talk about that another time, but I just want to leave it there. It's just so exciting what God is showing us. And if you follow what he's showing us, who eventually enters that inner sanctum behind the veil, he beckons to come, right? So I kind of just put a circle in the middle, taking that dominion, taking that authority, the mandate. I have original mandate given to Adam and Eve. They gave it away. We know that. Jesus came. He got it back. Okay. And he's given his dominion authority to his saints. He told us that. I give you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. Snakes and scorpions, all those reptilians, all those, just fill in the blank. And over all the power of the enemy, nothing shall in any ways harm you. So the first Adam failed, second Adam, Jesus did not. The first Eve failed, the second Eve, the bride of Christ, will not praise God. When she realizes who she is, she bows down, she realizes who she is. Completely submitting her will as her Lord, as her husband did to the Father. So does she. And then she rises to walk. She bows down at the cross, right? But she rises up. That is when she has died to self, fully allows the cross to do the work that it's to do in us, to crucify this flesh, so to speak. Being those living sacrifices, we are raised up in newness of life. And this, I want to end on this scripture right here. Ephesians 1. And I memorized this a long time ago because it really spoke volumes to me. But in this hour, it's huge. Ephesians 1. And I'm going to read it, personalize it for us. verse 17. I think I'm going to read 17 through 19. And it's Paul's prayer that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that we might know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in us. We're his inheritance. And that we might know what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come, and has put all things under his feet and given him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him. And what does it say in chapter 2, verses 5 through 6? When, even when we were dead in sins, has he quickened us together with Christ? By grace are we saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What an amazing God we serve. What an amazing plan, a rescue mission. What God has done through sending his son, Jesus Christ, to save us, and to the amazing plan that he has, that he is raising up a people to be used as instruments of that righteousness, and knowing their righteousness is from him. Him. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for what you are saying to your people in this hour. May we be given eyes to see, ears to hear what you're saying, Lord, to us in this hour. You are so faithful to remind us of your word. You are so faithful to lead us into all truth. And you are so faithful to show us the things to come. As it was, so will it be again. Thank you, Father, that you are perfecting a people to be used as vessels in your hand in this greatest rescue mission, this greatest harvest ever to hit the planet. We praise you, Lord. We thank you. I just ask that your spirit will be with us the rest of this meeting. You will bring your word to our remembrance. And in the days and weeks to come, all we can do is praise you, Lord. We have nothing, nothing that we bring to the table. And we confess you will have to do a stand-in in us. And we are looking forward to that. We are looking forward to be endued with power from on high. And that for the day when you confirm the words that spoken out our mouth, you will confirm that word with signs and wonders to draw even more people toward the saving message of Jesus Christ. The fact that he will forgive them of their sins. He will heal them of all sickness and disease. He will redeem their lives from destruction. The good news of the coming kingdom of God. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.